Hell to Pay, Operation Downfall, and the Invasion of Japan, 1945 through 1947. By D. M. Giangreco. Narrated by Danny Campbell. Copyright 2009 by D. M. Giangreco. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with U.S. Naval Institute Press and was produced in the year 2010 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Foreword, Three Colonels, by Stanley Weintraub. From what we learned in the last days and the aftermath of the two-hemisphere world war that closed with the collapse of Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan, we know what the world would have been like had we been unwilling to pay the price to defeat them. Yet as the war dragged on beyond Europe and the casualties escalated, and as some combat veterans began returning while others now never would, the home front was becoming less willing. The public began to lean toward militarily unthinkable negotiation, while encouraging Japan's submission by air and sea power, avoiding the heavy costs of invasion. In 1945, during the intense final months of World War II, the price of victory was being calculated, and its extent determined by three men who in 1918 had been in uniform in France. One was a Missouri National Guard captain, whose 35th Division, in the 6 days of the culminating Meuse-Argonne offensive, had suffered nearly 7,300 casualties, half its frontline strength. In the interwar years, even before he went to Washington as a senator, Harry Truman rose to reserve colonel. In wartime, he made a sterling reputation heading the U.S. Senate Investigating Committee on Military Spending Effectiveness. Truman was now president, succeeding Franklin D. Roosevelt, who had died suddenly in mid-April. Another in the leadership trio who once bore the bird on his shoulders was the now elderly Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, who was once an artillery officer and twice a cabinet member, with War and State Department portfolios under earlier Republican administrations, and who still preferred being called Colonel. The third had been a colonel and on the general staff of the American Expeditionary Forces during World War I. On his return to the States after the war, he was meanly reduced to his pre-war permanent rank of captain. On September 1, 1939, as war again broke out in Europe, George Marshall moved up as Roosevelt's appointee from the one star he had finally earned 17 frustrating years after the Army was drastically downsized to an instant four stars as Army Chief of Staff. Some of the major decisions closing the war with Germany and accelerating the downfall of Imperial Japan were inherited by Truman. The feisty, accidental president, who took pride in his Oval Office motto, "The buck stops here," had to make sweeping decisions advised and backed by Marshall and Stimson. Ironically, the civilian-suited war secretary was more militarily tough-minded than his seemingly austere top general, who now wore his congressionally mandated super rank of five stars, but always, realistically, kept in mind public attitudes, industrial capacity, and logistical limitations. Winston Churchill, who called George Marshall the architect of victory, was not being overly theatrical when he recalled that the British government, its fading imperial sway at stake, was pragmatically resolved to share the agony of the final and perhaps protracted slaughter. D.M. Giangreco's striking title, Hell to Pay, represents the closing wartime dilemmas and the likely repercussions to their solutions. After 10 years of violent aggrandizing in China, Japan had, in 1941, simultaneously and shockingly attacked four nations over a seventh of the Earth's surface. Defeating the sprawling Japanese Empire had required fiscal fortitude, technological breakthroughs, immense transfers of men and material across two oceans.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?